Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
An Elio's original.
Hello and welcome to Web Crawlers, the podcast where we do a deep dive into some of our favorite unsolved mysteries. Each week, we will introduce our topic, lay out our research and findings, reveal some conspiracy theories, and conclude with our own hypothesis. Who knows, we might even solve a case. I am Allie Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Stettin.
And I'm producer Maria.
Web Crawlers has a Patreon. To get access to rewards, bonus episodes, video versions of episodes, and ad-free episodes, as well as merchandise discounts, please go to patreon.com/webcrawlers. You can donate as little as $2 a month to become one of our bimbo patrons. Also, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us get up in the charts and helps us get new listeners. If you give us a 5-star review, screenshot and DM it to us, and we will read it on our podcast. Ooh, Maria's wearing a beret. See, if you're a patron, you'll be able to see all the cool video stuff that's happening. I'm wearing overalls.
Did you see that my background is someone who's near death because they're reaching toward a light?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little foreshadowing of our episode today. Also, Elio's has a hotline, 626-604-6262. Please call us and leave a message. Our mailbag episodes are actually some of our favorites, surprisingly. You guys leave the best messages. Melissa, who are our patrons for today? We have like 8, I think.
We've got Rachel, Anna, Mackenzie, Maria, Alyssa, Devin, Sapphire, Chris, and Tracy.
Welcome to the gang. Thank you for joining in. Anyways, I am super excited about our episode today. If you have seen Surviving Death on Netflix, it's a new documentary series out now. This is where I got the idea for it. The first episode is on near-death experiences. Although I feel like I would call them death experiences because it's about people who have like died for like a minute or seconds or several minutes at a time and then come back to life. And it's basically about what these people experience in the interim when they're dead. So is there life after death? Does our consciousness continue to exist after we die? 10 to 20% of people who have near-death experiences report out-of-body spiritual experiences when they die. Most of the accounts are strikingly similar. Does this give proof of the existence of a soul that continues or a place like heaven? Let's get into it.
Thank you.
So there have been near-death experiences documented since prehistoric times.
Like dinosaurs.
Yes, absolutely. Since like dinosaurs.
And they were documented in dinosaur times?
They're etched into...
into cave walls. But the first person to really popularize them was this guy, Oppenheim. And he was climbing the Alps in Switzerland, and he fell down. He fell down a cliff.
Fell down an Alp.
He fell down the Alps.
Like in The Price is Right, when the yodelers do 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 do, then he fall down. The Price is Right.
Never heard of it.
I don't know what she's talking about either, but I
heard of The Price is Right.
Anyway, so he fell down a cliff and died, and said it was like for a few minutes, and said it was the like most beautiful experience of his life. He said he felt like no pain, that time expanded, and that like he felt an affinity with the universe and the mountain and life and wow. Like everything in general, and he never felt so connected to humanity and the environment while he was tumbling down this cliff dying.
Wow.
So this guy Oppenheim was like, I wonder if other people have these experiences when they're dying or close to death. So he started interviewing people who had died or had near-death experiences, and it turned out they all had these feelings of like happiness and trust and like extreme comfort when they were on the border between life and death.
Wow.
So then obviously like, and there weren't that many experiences, but then in the 60s and 70s, when resuscitation techniques came, we learned like CPR and like defibrillators and stuff like that. You could obviously bring more people back from the brink of death or from death in general. So then there was this new wave of near-death experiences where people had died and then been brought back to life and could recount like all this crazy stuff.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And all these people are having the same experiences, which we'll get into, of visiting like a heaven-like afterlife. This medical journal called Resuscitation, I guess, recently published. I know. It's very like on like apropos for this. What we're talking about, published the first written account, the first medical description of a near-death experience. And it was from this 18th century military doctor named Pierre-Jean de Machaut. And he got a phlebotomy, which is, who knows?
Is that a brain surgery?
It's when someone uses a needle to take blood from a brain, usually vein. Take blood from a vein, not a brain. Usually in your arm. I said vein,
I
not
heard
brain.
And I was like, what?
Oh, phlebotomist.
Melissa thought it was lobotomy.
And it's a phlebotomy. And it's spelled PH, not F, which was interesting for me to Google.
Oh, interesting.
So, I was spelling it like flubber. Like, that's how phlebotomy. I saw it. It was like flubber.
That's my next mini episode. Flubberotomy. So save that search. So I Book guess for some reason during this phlebotomy, he passed out or was unconscious for a long time or something like that. I mean, it was the 17th century, so who knows if they really knew how to draw blood at that time. Yeah. And he reported seeing a pure, extreme white light, having gone to heaven, felt affirmed, having never had a nicer moment, etc. And that was the first time that that kind of experience had ever really been written about. And then it just continued from there. So the modern research of near-death experiences really started in 1975 with this guy, Raymond Moody, who wrote a book with interviews from 50 experiencers. And then there's this guy, Bruce Grayson, who's like the king of near-death experiences, which they call NDEs, which I'm ever going to say NDE because that just like confuses me. And I feel like I keep getting it.
It's like WMD.
Yeah. I keep getting it confused also with non-disclosure agreement. And I just went into
NDA.
It.
Or NDR or DNR. Do not resuscitate.
If anything, this is the opposite.
D&D.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Or DDT. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Or DMT, which we'll also kind of talk about. Okay. So Bruce Grayson is the professor emeritus of psychiatry and neurobehavioral scientists at the University of Virginia. And he was like, near-death experiences are a bunch of phooey. Like, this is crazy. If your brain is dead, you can't have any consciousness because your consciousness is determined by your brain activation. Like if your brain is dead, your brain isn't firing. You can't be thinking, you can't be feeling, you can't be hearing or seeing. Like this makes no sense.
But if you die, your heart stops though, right?
Yes.
It's not necessarily your brain.
These people who have been dead, their hearts and their brain are kaput.
There's
when you flatline both. Yeah, when you flatline both are kaput, which is what they're confused about in the idea of consciousness, because they're saying consciousness is tied to your brain.
Right.
And if your brain is not active, how are these people still experiencing consciousness?
Right. Yeah, that is
when
crazy.
They are flatlined. So anyways, at first he was like, these people are full of shit. But then he did 30 years of investigation. He published the Handbook of Near-Death Experiences. He's the doctor in this documentary, Surviving Death. And he was like, oh shit, like, I think this stuff is real. This is really crazy.
Is it like the handbook for the recently deceased?
That they give out Beetlejuice. Yeah. Which no one reads. So there are some patterns among these stories that we'll get into, because I have a lot of like near-death experiences from people who DM'd me, which is crazy.
That's crazy.
John Tenney has a death experience, which I'm going to read.
Right.
And then I found some on Reddit as well. And then there's some from this documentary. But there's patterns that are similar in all the stories. So sense of time being distorted. So like 1 minute lasts an eternity lasts like 1 minute. Also, you can be multiple places at a time. So for example, in this one woman she flatlined at the hospital, but she was dead for a minute or something like that. But she was simultaneously like above her body. She was also like in the waiting room with her husband and her daughter, seeing what they were doing.
Whoa.
She was like also with the site of where the accident had happened. Like you can apparently like time and place are all distorted.
That's crazy.
Dimensionally. Someone in Reddit had explained it as what's that movie? It's like about aliens, though, I think, where it's like the bookshelves and like at the end and you see everything through.
It's Interstellar.
Interstellar. They described it as being like Interstellar at the end, where you see like all the portions of your life at the same time. Like that's what they explained it as being like. Okay, so other patterns, getting information from high frequency teachers, whatever that means. So like there's like guides or like you feel like you're getting information from people. Ordinary senses becoming more vivid. So this reminded me of like being on psychedelics, which is probably people take like acid and DMT and stuff and ketamine. So they say like color and smell and sound get like crazy. And one guy said like he died and he was transported to this field and then he touched a tree that was there and then he like became the tree. So
that's cool.
Yeah, right.
Like Treebeard and Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Yes. So I can see how people like say that DMT and psychedelics and things like that give you a godlike experience, because people who die say it has a similar effect. They're profoundly changed when coming back. They encounter long lost relatives or friends. They recall scenes from one's life. They feel a sense of connectedness to all creation. And then another thing is like a lot of them don't want to come back.
Oh.
So when they return to their bodies, like a lot of them feel like it's a bummer.
Oh, they have like depression?
Yeah. So a lot of them like really like this heaven place that they're at and don't really feel inclined to come back to their
body. Have you seen the movie Fearless with Jeff Bridges and Rosie Perez?
No.
They get in like this horrific plane crash. It's like a really scary plane crash, like a full on 747 plane crash, and they're on it and they survive. And it's all about them coming back to their life after this near death experience. And like, he's not allergic to strawberries anymore. He used to be. This is like a real thing that happens.
Wow, what a win.
Yeah. Worth it.
It's a scary movie. It's I mean, it's not supposed to, it's supposed to be maybe uplifting, but it scares me because there's a plane crash in it.
Oh, John Turturro, 93.
And also because you're terrified of strawberries.
Yeah, no, I never want to be able to eat a strawberry ever.
No, ever. There, a similar one is What Dreams May Come. Do you remember that one?
Oh, I can't stand that freaking movie.
That one's really
I creepy. Hate that movie so much. I saw that like in theaters, and ever since I see, I think about it like once a week, and every time I like shudder when I think
you
about
get angry.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. As in Robin Williams' wife commits suicide and ends up in like the place where people go allegedly in this movie where they commit suicide, right. And he has to go to the afterlife to like try to go get her.
No thanks.
No thank you.
Anyways, so there's this article in The Atlantic about the science of near-death experiences, which is pretty crazy. And it's been really publicized recently. So in 2014, there was this movie, Heaven is Real, about a young boy who told his parents he had visited heaven while he was having emergency surgery. It sold $91 million worth of copies, which is insane.
Wow.
I feel like Christians love this shit.
Yeah.
And then there's two more books done by doctors.
Oh.
And all these doctors who are always like, I didn't believe in this stuff until it happened to me. Proof of Heaven by Eben Alexander had a near-death experience after he was in a week-long coma from meningitis.
Oh, God.
And then To Heaven by and Back by Mary C. Neal, who had a kayaking incident, who we'll talk about. And we'll get into this a little bit later, too. But, like, science has always tried to explain, like, what NDEs are. Like, what is a near-death experience? Like, is it an oxygen shortage? Is it because of like anesthesia during surgery? And like that does something weird to the neurochemical responses.
It's like your brain resetting though. Like that's the crazy part about it.
Yes.
How's your memory not erase? Like,
yeah.
What am I? I'm not a doctor.
I ain't a doctor. There's some other explanations. Like some say it's a disassociation thing. So like when you're in a highly stressful experience that your body will disassociate from a stressful event. That's called the disassociation model. So some people might detach so far that they'll start detaching from one's immediate surroundings and then visualize them from where they were prior to the incident. So like you might imagine a hospital setting or things like that. So you're kind of like imagining.
Oh, like if you're in like a car crash, like some people forget the car crash. They only remember what happened before because it was so traumatic.
Yeah. So some say that these near-death experiences where then they're like, I could see myself in the hospital bed and like stuff like that, that it's just disassociation that they are like in a coma. But then when they come to and that's what they remember, that like it's they're separating from their trauma and then like kind of like making up a story of like memories that they're putting together. So then there's something that science tries to explain called the birth model. People say that like when they have these near death experiences that they see like a tunnel. And then like they feel like warm and enclosed and stuff like that. So people think that when they do get like flatlined or in these places that maybe they're reliving the trauma of birth or that they're taken back to.
Oh.
Which is kind of like what you were saying is like kind of like a reset that like they're taken back to like the womb and like the birth canal. And that's like what they're remembering again or something
that's
like that.
That's wild. Crazy.
Yeah, so that's called the birth model.
No, yeah. Thank you.
New,
so like that's what I'm in my background right now. That's like the birth canal.
Yeah, it's reaching up, a vaginal light tunnel. Yeah, and then there's also ones called like
that would be the name of like your production company, Allie. Vaginal light
birth tunnel. Vaginal light tunnel.
VLT.
I'll have a VLT sandwich. And then there's also ones that depersonalization, the expectancy model, neuroanatomical models, which like this isn't like a scientific thing, so I'm not going to get into all these. But they also say low oxygen levels, altered blood gas level models. That could be the scientific explanations to why people experience these things.
Or like, you know, when you get like shot or something and you don't feel it, like your adrenaline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Ronald Reagan.
You're like in shock.
You didn't know he got shot.
What? Really? That happened?
Yeah, he got shot. And like, he was like, oh no, I'm fine, I'm fine. And then like, his Secret Service agent was like, oh, I got to pat you down. And like, they saw blood. And he was like, oh, they're like, we got to take you to the hospital.
I'm sure it went down just like that.
I've been watching a lot of West Wing.
What a fucking weirdo. That being said, there is this thing about like, when people flatline, so this guy, Eben Alexander, who was in the coma for meningitis and was in a full coma, was able, when he got out of the coma, to say everything that like the doctors had said while they were in the room. Like he was able to recount. Yeah, he was able to recount like what people were doing when they were in the room, like what people said when they visited. His experience took place when his brain was incapable of any activity.
Oh.
So when he came to, he was able to recount all this stuff. So it's just like, it's real. Like people are able to recount this stuff. It's just the matter of like, how is it spiritual or is there some sort of scientific explanation? So now we can get into some crazy stories. So if you've seen Surviving Death, this one will be familiar. So this woman was kayaking and she fell off a waterfall and she was pinned underwater. Almost all her bones broke.
Crazy.
And she said, and she was stuck underwater, like she couldn't breathe. She was stuck for like 30 minutes or something. She felt no pain, no fear, no panic. She said she felt more alive than she's ever felt. She said she felt her spirit peel away from her body and go to heaven. And she was immediately greeted by a group of people who she didn't know, but she knew were familiar. So, for example, like her grandparent who died before she was born. So then she was taken down a pathway, she said, that was covered with flowers, exploding with color. She said she felt a shift in time and dimension. She said all of eternity was in every second and every second lasted for eternity. She was led to a dome structure where she felt an overwhelming sense of home. But at the same time, she could see the river where her body was submerged. Eventually, her body washed up on shore, bloated, purple, fixed eyes, etc. She was dead. She had been deprived of oxygen for 30 minutes. She had no heartbeat.
Crazy.
She could see people doing CPR on her body from heaven. She did not want to come back, but apparently the beings on heaven with her told her that it was not her time to die. And then apparently those beings also told her that her son would not live to his 18th birthday.
That's right.
And then he didn't.
But why did they tell her that?
Before his 18th birthday.
Why would they tell her that? Like, that's a dick thing to do.
Well, the weirdest thing is that then she told her son.
Well, that's
that.
A dick thing to do.
Yeah, she told her son.
Yeah.
Well, because he did turn 18 or like he graduated or something.
He was going on his 18th birthday skiing trip or something.
Okay, yeah. If you're going on an 18th birthday ski trip and you've been told you're not going to live past your 18th birthday, you don't go on the ski trip. You don't go.
Well, like, I think that was her fear.
He had turned 18 already, yeah. And she you shouldn't was like, go on well, a ski I'm trip. Tell him that
if you've been told you're going to die, you shouldn't go on a ski trip. Like, easy. Sorry,
but she figured like the curse was broken because he turned 18, and she was like, "Okay, it's probably fine." And then the son was like, "Mom, you're crazy." Like,
well, that's what happens whatever. When time works differently in heaven. 18 could be God. The same as 19, 20
in dog years.
Yeah, seriously. She experienced all this, and then she got a message from her deceased family, and then it came true. So that's kind of scary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
And here's one from John Tenney. And this is from his blog, Weird Lectures. I'm going to read it verbatim. I have his permission. Please understand that some of the words I use in the descriptions of my experience will fail to accurately explain what I remember. The memories I have of the event do not have words or descriptions, which is part of why the experience was so horrific. Also, if I stray away and meander about while trying to explain the occurrence, please remember that for decades, my family chose to not speak about this event. Whoa. My mother and father, obviously, do not like to talk about when they almost lost their son. To this day, it is something they would rather not think about. As an example, when I say my family doesn't talk about it, I mean my 14-year-old nephew just learned about it weeks before the show premiered. Because I think that he talked about it on a TV show. Knowing he would see the show, my sister and I discussed the experience so that he would not be frightened about it and so that he could revel in the fact that although his uncle died, he still has his uncle. The meat and potatoes of the experience itself, the biological component, is secondary and plays little part in what I experienced when I died. So let's get right to what people want, the experience itself. I could simply write awareness inside of nothing forever, and I would be fine with that description, but you, the reader, probably would not be satisfied.
Correct. Not satisfied. Yeah. Give me more, John.
A traditional NDE is usually talked about as bright lights, a white tunnel, relatives who have passed away beckoning you into the light, warmth, happiness, and eternal love. Mine was very much the opposite of that.
Oh, God.
At some point, I became aware that I was aware. It was dark. I felt blind. I tried to reach my hand up in front of my eyes and realize I didn't have a hand or an arm or eyes. Oh. I tried to scream, but found I had no mouth. Indeed, I was only awareness without physical form. My body no longer existed. I was only a mind. I was there forever. As strange as that sounds, it's true. There was no time where I was, and therefore I was there forever, trapped in infinity, unable to scream, move, and also unable to be unaware of my awareness. I couldn't shut it out because I was it. There was only me, my mind, alone inside of infinity.
This is a nightmare.
No, it's horrible.
I hate every second of it. Although aware that I could not scream, I still tried. I tried for millions of years to scream.
God, and this is horrible.
Did John go to hell?
And no, when you're in space, no one hears you scream.
Yeah. Yeah. And when it didn't work, I tried for a million more, knowing that it would never work. I wanted to cry, but again, there could be no tears when your body has no ability to produce them. I knew who I had been, but at some point realized this was now who I was. No one, nothing, in the middle of nothing forever. I wanted anything, hope, happiness, sadness, pain, something that would let me feel, because I knew if I could feel something, it would mean that there was something other than the nothing. fear became a friend because it was something still, though it was fear. This is
that's
like,
a haunting sentence.
I hate this.
Fear became a friend because it was
because it was something still,
Jesus,
though it was
Jesus
fear.
Christ.
I know. Buzzkill. Every now and then the fear would return. It was the only thing I knew. Since time doesn't exist, when the fear returned, it returned constantly and forever, and I would try screaming again and again and again and again. At some point after forever, an idea became me. The idea was stay nothing forever or become everything. I knew from being inside the nothing for infinity, I had to choose everything. And I opened my eyes. There it was. Everything. People, smells, sights, sounds, happiness, pain, fear, life. And it was beautiful. The day I died was the most horrific part of my life. And it was the greatest thing that has ever happened to me.
Whoa.
Yeah, bro.
Oh.
I don't love to see it.
You don't love to see it.
So that's one description of the afterlife.
Cool.
Very
can't
different
wait.
From the others.
Can't wait.
Well, that seems like the opposite of what we normally hear. It's like, it's so beautiful yeah. and light. And John's like, oh no, it was a horrifying nightmare.
Well, it'd be interesting to have another episode. Maybe I'll do like a Patreon episode about like what different religions think of like what the afterlife is, because like that feels right. like very like what the Jewish afterlife is. Like the Jews, I think, from what I understand, believe that like you die and then you're dead.
Hmm.
Like it's just like an infinity of death, you know,
has to do with like how people's different thoughts on.
Yeah. Like I would love to know the correlation. I don't think John's Jewish, but I would love right. to know the correlation between like. Your religious beliefs and then like how you perceive
he's like
a near-death
atheist,
experience.
I believe
he's probably Wiccan.
He's his own religion.
Yeah, I don't know what he is. Pagan? I don't know. Yeah. Here's one from this woman, Kim. She said, she DM'd me. She said, it's a long story. In 2010, I had an asthma attack so severe that it seized up my lungs and threw me into cardiac arrest.
Oh my God. Oh,
I later found out from the medical records that it was about 9 minutes during this time I was gone. She said, I spent 3 days in heaven during those 9 minutes. Like, that's so crazy that they know, like, how much and the time is different. She said, I don't know how I knew it was 3 days, but I just know. When I first came to heaven, I was on a river. The river took me to the next level. There I was in a glass enclosure that had all of my memories of my life kind of projected on the back wall. There were endless glass walls. The next level, though, that's where the real heaven began for me. For as long as I can remember, I've told my loved ones to meet me in the back left corner of heaven. She says, I think I got that from a movie. So there was a green meadow as far as I could see. The colors were so vivid that there's no earthly words to describe it. Anyway, as I headed back to the left corner to look for my dad, he died in 1985. And as I was walking toward it and him, I hoped, my nanny, she died in 1991, was suddenly in front of me and she said verbatim, what are you doing here, Kim? It's not time for you yet.
Whoa.
I woke up on the cardiac floor of Athens Regional Hospital. I had been in a medical coma and had undergone hypothermia treatment. I was furious that I had to come back here, and I still kind of am.
Oh.
Crazy.
Jesus.
I like how the nanny was like, you gotta go. Like, this isn't...
Yeah.
Bitch,
it's not your time. But that's another common thing, you know, where it's like a loved one's like, you have to go. I'm sorry, it's not your time. Like, you still have work left to do. Okay, so this one has a mention of suicide, so I want to do a trigger warning. So fast forward like a minute or two if you don't want to hear it. So this one is from someone who DM'd me also. Her name is Mags, and she said, I think I did have a near-death experience. I intentionally overdosed on a large amount of various prescriptions, and my suicide watch person felt something was off and called 911. The last thing I remember before going blank was, depressingly, my door being opened and asking the paramedics and police officers not to hurt my dog, who was jumping on them, and then I felt nothing for a while. I felt warm and happy for the first time in a really long time, and like I was being reunited with someone or something. She says, I believe in witchcraft and spirituality, so I do think that it was the spirit of someone close greeting me when my heart stopped. I didn't see anything or hear a voice. It was just a feeling. I have my thoughts on what it was that I encountered, but it's hard to explain and it sounds really silly. The next thing I knew, I was waking up in a hospital about 4 or 5 days later with a breathing tube in, catheter, etc. I was active duty in the Navy at that time and so had to do mandatory time in the mental ward once I was stabilized. Once I had full control of my body again, I felt completely changed from how I was before. And this is something that a lot of people say, that like they have a complete shift in perception after they have a near-death experience. Right. She says, I still have depression and PTSD from traumatic events that led to the suicide attempt, but the urge to do it again or self-harm is gone completely. I had even been smoking a pack a day as a weird long-term self-harm thing and drinking a lot before it happened, and I haven't touched a cigarette since and don't crave drinking anymore at all.
Oh,
it felt
wow.
like the presence I had met with me for those moments greeted me and sort of took away that extreme level of pain. Like it wanted me to live out my life instead of just ending it. I still remember it really clearly. In the mental ward, the doctors, to be honest, seemed a little confused about how peaceful I was.
That's so crazy.
And they have, in Surviving Death, they have like a support group for people who have had near-death experiences. And a lot of like the things that people say are that like, when they come back, they have problems like relating to people because like they don't have the urge for like materialism or like ego or competition. They have a hard time relating to like their friends and family because they now feel a lot more spiritual than they did before, which is interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So and then here's one from Reddit. Okay. So this is from bitches_broken_hearts. This one's really crazy. Okay. So this person says, I died when I was a baby. When I was a few months old, my mother looked down at me in my carrier and saw that I was blue and not breathing. She ran to the neighbors, who was a nurse who performed CPR until the ambulance arrived. I still had no pulse and was not breathing. They worked on me for a while and I had eliminated all of my body fluids, yes, even as an infant, and remained blue with no pulse for 15 to 20 minutes. Miraculously, I started breathing again on my own. I had no brain damage or any lingering cognitive effects and my life moved on. Lately, I've been doing a lot of self-reflection, meditation, and therapy. This isn't something that I'd share with my therapist or a psychiatrist because I know I would be committed, and I know how insane this sounds. But I have never been connected to my mother and father, not even my sisters. I've always felt like I had been adopted, even though I wasn't. I've never felt right. I believe that when my body died, the soul that was in my body, meant for my mom and dad, moved on, and that my soul took over. Trust me, I know how insane it sounds, which is why I'm posting anonymously in this thread. As bitch and broken hearts. Does anyone have this experience? So this guy thinks that like this baby died.
Right.
And then like his soul swooped in.
Oh.
Like he thinks like over. I guess like his soul was meant for like another family or something maybe. And like his soul like swooped into this like baby's body or something.
That's wild.
Which is one that I've never heard. So he thinks that like this soul actually moved on, and then another. Then this other person, I won't read the whole thing because it's long, but says that when they had their near-death experience, that they were taken, that theirs was also kind of like John Tenney, that theirs was a bummer, that they were taken through the rest of their life, like what their life would have been and like how their life would be without them. So like what their parents are like once they die, like they were able to see like the consequences of their death. They were able to see like their parents grieving, and like she saw her best friend commit suicide. She saw like what was like states of like what were happening in the world and blah, blah, blah. I think she said she saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win a game, which is crazy. I would like bet on that. That's like,
yeah, that's wild.
It's like Back to the Future. And so then she was in a coma this whole time. And then she came back because she was so sad about being able to see all these things and like all the devastation that people felt around the death.
I wonder how much of what she saw actually happened. Like what
I know, I want to know about this Buccaneers game. so then there have been a lot of studies trying to replicate near-death experiences to try to figure out like what the deal is. Right. Apparently the Dalai Lama can replicate a near-death experience through meditation.
Ooh.
And monks can like flatline while meditating and then come back to life. Apparently the Dalai Lama can do that, enter such a deep state of meditation. If you want to book an appointment with me at higherselfhealers.com, I can teach you how to do that. but there's this study called the AWARE study. It was launched by the Human Consciousness Project. It's led by Dr. Sam Parnia and Dr. Peter Fenwick, Stephen Holgate, and Robert Peveler at the University of Southampton. There, they study the brain and consciousness during cardiac arrest. They're trying to test the validity of near-death experiences while these people are having heart attacks and mm-hmm. flatline. There's one guy, this one patient, a 57-year-old man, described himself floating up to the corner of the room, seeing medical staff work on him, watching himself be defibrillated. And according to the study, several of the details he described checked out specifically. And then it says, after triangulating the patient's description with the workings of the defibrillator, the researchers think he may have seen things that happened for as long as 3 minutes after his heart stopped. I don't know, man.
I don't know, man.
There's also like a big conference of near-death experience conference where people, I guess, like,
yeah,
after near-death experience, people say they have high sensitivity to light, sound, certain chemicals. They become more caring and generous. So maybe Maria would benefit from that.
Oh, you're rude. It's comments like that that just make me leave a real bad taste in my mouth.
They have trouble, like the taste of strawberries. They have trouble with timekeeping, finances.
Oh, well.
Oh, and also they have a strange influence on electrical equipment, apparently. Like they have glitches and stuff with computers.
Oh,
why?
So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the answer. So I'm kind of at a loss about whether or not like what the afterlife is. To be honest, like John's account of it really freaked me out.
Yeah, that was haunting.
It's horrible.
I was really on board for like seeing all my loved ones and being in like a really beautiful garden with everyone who's ever loved me and feeling like a warm heavenly hug.
Yeah.
I do not want to be screaming for infinity with my new best friend Fear. So
isn't that like a Bush song?
My old friend Fear and you and me. Don't let the days go by.
What if John's story was John just the lyrics to probably. The Serene?
Yeah. John, are you like sure you didn't just pass out and hear that song playing?
I'm alone all the time.
So I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on what you think, like a near what you think the afterlife is, or like if it exists, or what do you think the vibe
like
is?
Like the whole seeing things, and like I believe that because. When you die, like if your heart stops and like your brain is like there's still some activity or there's no activity, like your brain resets. So like what crazy shit is going through your brain when you're like your body dies? Like you must see or feel some like insane things.
Well, I was thinking it's kind of interesting. I have epilepsy. I haven't had a seizure in like 6 years. I'm very lucky, but I grew up having seizures. And before you have seizures, sometimes you can see like and hear and crazy things. Like sometimes you like will see hallucinations or like smell things or like see vivid colors. And I don't know if there's any correlation, but that I always viewed seizures as kind of like a body reset. Like your brain has like an electromagnetical like surge, you know, kind of, and then you seize and then like you're back to normal. So I'm wondering if like when your brain has these like surges of activity and then like flat lines, if it produces some sort of like auditory, like sensory I mean, like, I literally am pretending to be smart right now, but like, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, that makes sense. Because, you know, that's like when Steve Jobs died, his last words were like, oh, wow, oh, wow. Remember? That was like his thing.
Oh. Oh, really? I thought it was something really stupider than that.
I feel like we've had this conversation before.
No, I talked about it. Hold on one second. My guys.
Steve Jobs.
Oh, it was oh wow. Yeah.
Yeah, his last words were like, oh wow, oh wow.
Oh wow.
Oh wow.
And that makes me think that he was like, his brain was like doing something where he was seeing stuff.
Yeah. Well, the birth canal thing is interesting, where you start to feel like, I don't,
the tunnel.
Like maybe your brain, like, we only use a certain percent of our brain. Maybe it starts activating more of that and we're able to like recall things that we couldn't recall before, or I don't know. I mean, if you think that we only use such a small percent of our brain, like, what happens when we start using more of it, you know, because we have some flair that, like, for a moment we're able to use, access more of our capabilities or something. I mean, I don't know. There's also an episode of Surviving Death where people who are in hospice, who are close to dying, report like seeing their loved ones or feeling their loved ones prior to death, like seeing visions or like dreaming about their people who have passed away. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, clearly there's some sort of correlation between like death and like, I don't, it's just so, it's, I mean, it's such an open, like, we'll never know, I don't think. You know, I don't know.
Unless we got to try to, you know, try to die and then come back.
Yeah. Which I guess is what DMT is. Like, I don't, and that's something I was like, I'll write about that. But then I was like, I don't know. Like, what is DMT? Like the death molecule, and like it mimics what death is?
I don't know. I've never done DMT and I don't want to. I've just heard so many differing accounts of it. Like, where it's like, oh, it didn't really do much. Or like, oh, I thought I was dead. It was horrifying. Ugh. I don't want to do it again.
Yeah, they call it the spirit molecule.
But Joe Rogan does it a lot.
He does.
I have an ex-boyfriend who does it. And I was like, I'm not going to ask him. Like, I don't need his input on what DMT is. Yeah. As far as, say people have described feeling like they're traveling at warp speed through a tunnel of bright lights and shapes.
Glycerine.
Okay. Well, anyways, I would love to hear what any listeners think about like near-death experiences, or if you've had ones or anything like that, please let us know. Melissa, where can people reach us?
You can email us at webcrawlerspod@gmail.com.
Wow, if you Google image DMT, there's like really crazy hallucinogenic like pictures that I don't like. That like it feels like a yoga teacher, like a guru would put on their Instagram. You know what I mean? Like those weird pictures. Okay, anyways, I am Allie NDA Siegel.
I am Melissa. Oh wow. Stetton.
Oh wow, oh wow, oh wow.
And I'm Maria Strawberries Blasucci.
Cool.
That's so cute. Aww. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Original.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.